It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House of Representatives on Wednesday voted 223-207 to censure Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona and strip him of his committee assignments for tweeting an anime video depicting him killing Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a sword and then attacking President Biden. Two Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, joined the Democrats in favor of the measure. Congressman David Joyce, Republican from Ohio, voted present, and three other Republicans didn't cast a vote at all. This vote marked the first such censure action in more than a decade. Gosar sat through the House debate wearing an American flag mask. He said no threat was intended by the post, but he certainly didn't express any regret. AOC called him out.
It is a sad day in which a member who leads a political party in the United States of America cannot bring themselves to say that issuing a depiction of murdering a member of Congress is wrong. What is so hard about saying that this is wrong? This is not about me. This is not about Representative Gosar. But this is about what we are willing to accept.
So he was censured, first time in over a decade. And when he left the House chamber, he immediately reposted the offending video. Just amazing. President Biden on Wednesday told the FTC to investigate whether oil and gas companies are engaging in illegal conduct that's pushing gas prices higher during the pandemic. Biden wrote a letter that said, quote, "The bottom line is this. Gasoline prices at the pump remain high, even though oil and gas companies' costs are declining. The national average price of a gallon of regular gas has risen to a seven-year high of $3.41, up from $1.29 a year ago." Just remember, a year ago, nobody was driving anywhere. Supply and demand, you know? Lots of courtroom action this week. Let's start with the Capitol insurrection. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth sentenced Jacob Chansley, you know him better as the QAnon shaman, to 41 months in prison for his role in the insurrection. Chansley stormed the Senate chamber during the attack with his face painted red, white, and blue. He was wearing a fur helmet with horns. Yeah, that guy. He pleaded guilty in September to obstruction of Congress for his role in the insurrection. Videos show Chansley yelling at police officers and leading rioters through the halls of the Capitol. The judge told him that his crime was horrific, as you can now see, and merits prison time. Then there's Steve Bannon, longtime strategist of the former guy, who's back in a courtroom on Thursday after pleading not guilty on Wednesday to a criminal contempt of Congress charge for defying subpoenas issued by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Bannon surrendered Monday and vowed to fight the charge, calling the case a politically motivated attack, and threatening Speaker Pelosi and Attorney General Merrick Garland that this would be the, quote, misdemeanor from hell. Bannon is attempting to invoke executive privilege, which doesn't exist. Trump is no longer president, and Bannon wasn't in the employ of the White House on or around January 6th. In a Georgia courtroom Wednesday, the defense introduced their first witness, Travis McMichael. He's one of the white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, a black jogger. McMichael testified that he shot Arbery in self-defense. McMichael, who along with his father and another man chased down Arbery as he ran through their Georgia neighborhood, said that Arbery tried to take away his shotgun and he believed he was in a life or death situation. McMichael claimed that he and his father thought they recognized Arbery as a man captured on video walking through a nearby house under construction. They chased him, he said, thinking that he was a burglar and they were trying to make a citizen's arrest. The prosecutor suggested that the men weren't chasing Arbery to detain him, saying, quote, "Not once during your direct examination did you state that your intention was to effectuate an arrest of Mr. Arbery until your attorney asked you that leading question. Is that right?" And McMichael replied, "Yes." The defense continues with their case. Meanwhile, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial is in its third day of deliberations. And in the federal civil trial against the leaders of the 2017 Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, Virginia, closing statements should take up most of the day on Thursday. Deliberations are set to begin on Friday. Meanwhile, lawyers for two of the men convicted for the 1965 assassination of Malcolm X expect them to be exonerated on Thursday. Historians have long questioned the case against the men, Muhammad Aziz and Khalil Islam. Both spent more than 20 years in prison. The 83-year-old Aziz got out in 1985. Islam was released in 87 and died in 2009. A 22-month investigation by their lawyers and Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance's office that frankly was opened because of a Netflix documentary called Who Killed Malcolm X raised doubts about the men's guilt. The Manhattan District Attorney's office concluded that the FBI and the New York Police Department withheld documents and other evidence of their innocence during their trial. Just lovely. In other news, overdose deaths soared during the pandemic. The biggest problem, you know, opioids. There were more overdose deaths from the illegal synthetic opioid fentanyl than there were from any drug in 2016. And good news for you Mac users, Apple will start selling parts for do-it-yourself phone repairs. Really? So now you'll be able to fix broken screens and replace old batteries yourself. Parts will be available for iPhone 12 and 13 devices starting early next year. You'll also receive tools and instructions. And once you're done, you can send old parts back for recycling. That's a step in the right direction. And finally, for insomniacs and stargazers everywhere, listen up. The longest partial lunar eclipse in 580 years happens tonight, Thursday night, Friday morning. The lunar eclipse will leave 97% of the moon in darkness. It'll be the largest partial lunar eclipse since 1440. Now, these events only occur on the night of a full moon when it passes through the Earth's shadow. So this one will be a small one, actually. It's called a micromoon, the counterpart of a supermoon, which occurs when the moon is near apogee, the orbit furthest from the Earth. The November full moon is known as a beaver moon, because this is the time of the year when beavers are building their winter dams. You can see it anywhere in North America, beginning at 1:02 a.m. Eastern Time Friday morning. That would also be 10:02 Pacific Time Thursday night. And it should last around 3.5 hours. Enjoy. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.